were as short as it needed to be. That was a pretty good sample. I'm glad everybody did well with that.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Well, praise the Lord. I'm feeling a lot better than I was last week. Minor cough, still just a little bit of congestion, but nothing like last week. Thank the Lord. It was, what a week. But anyway, the Lord got us through, and we thank the Lord for that. Amen. And it's good to have the baby here. And, you know, it's wonderful, too, that is it Grandpop or Pop-Pop? Pop-Pop is perfectly going to be here preaching the first sermon. I'm going to teach the first lesson. I'm going to teach her first lesson, amen. But Pop-Pop's going to be here, praise the Lord, to preach her first message. And that's a wonderful thing. And thank the Lord for that. And if the preacher's up to it, he tells me, hey, I got tonight. Amen. Praise the Lord. He called me and he's like, hey, do you think you can put me on like last minute? And if I need you, because he said, I really want to preach this week. He said, but I just, you know, I said, listen, I said, if I could ask you to do this, don't jump in like all day at one time, if you will. I said, ease your way back in. You know what I mean? Because just coming off of what he's coming off of, three services to prepare for, to stand for, to share, it could just wipe him out and kind of set him back. So I said, listen, let me come up, do Sunday school the evening. I said, you preach the main service in the morning, amen? And he said, you know what? That sounds good. I'll do that. And so I praise the Lord for that. And I want to see him get back in here for good, amen? And I'm sure you do as well, amen? You're probably getting tired of seeing me, though somebody said they want to deputize me. I said, you can't do that. Only the sheriff can do that. But anyway, if you have a Bible, would you turn, please, to 2 Timothy chapter number 2. 2 Timothy chapter number 2. This morning, I'd like to talk a little bit about the Word of God. And by the way, that's what church ought to be about. Amen. But I'll tell you, I love churches that focus on the book. Because that's the whole reason we get together. It's wonderful to, you know, to have fellowship with one another and you know, share stories and blessings. But I know a lot of preachers, boy, they give a little bit of book and a lot of story, you know. And we need to hear the word. Amen. Sing them over again to me. Wonderful words of life. Amen. In 2 Timothy chapter number 2, I want to talk a little bit about the word of God this morning. And I think it may carry over. I usually come with a couple messages, but a lot of times the way things go, they just seem to carry over. And that's fine. Amen. As long as the Lord's in it, right? But I want to do this morning, I want to begin something and we'll see what happens for tonight. But what I want to do is I want to focus on some of the responsibilities that we as God's people have concerning the Word of God. There are some things that you and I that are saved have a responsibility concerning God's word. And I want to focus on those this morning and perhaps this evening. And so we're going to take a little ride through the scriptures. Amen. As I say, let your fingers do the walking. Amen. As we go through the scriptures. But I want you to note, first of all, if you will, the first responsibility that I want to mention is that we are responsible to study God's word. Amen. We are responsible to study God's word. Now, in 2 Timothy chapter number 2, verse number 15 is the key verse that I want to look at. And I want you to note with me, if you would, please. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, and verse number 15, the Bible says this, study. And by the way, that word right there really implies diligence. You know, real Bible study takes real effort. Amen. It really takes diligence to do that. But here's what Paul said to Timothy, obviously under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Study to show thyself approved unto God. You know, we got to study the Bible to be approved by God, not to be approved by men. Amen. I mean, I want to know what God said. In fact, when I hear preachers preach, I enjoy the preaching of the word. And in fact, I'm looking forward to hearing. I don't know that I've ever sat under your dad's preaching. I did listen to him on the internet. Amen. But I'm looking forward to being able to sit down and just receive the word. Amen. But I'll be honest with you. I mean, I listen to the word of God preached. And when I hear something that I just kind of, I never saw before, never maybe thought about it, that I want to a lot of times go and look into it myself. By the way, I think that's a good thing to be provoked. to do that. Amen. In fact, I really believe that, boy, every week we ought to be challenged to leave here and say, you know what? I think I want to get a little deeper in the book myself. Amen. And so, by the way, like those of Berea, you'll remember Berea, when Paul and I think it was Silas that were driven from Thessalonica because of the persecution, they went to Berea. And when they got to Berea, it says those of Berea were more noble in that they received the word with all readiness of mind. But what they did was they searched the scriptures daily to see whether those things were so that Paul was preaching. By the way, Paul's the one that actually Luke's the one that told us that. But it's a commendable thing if God's people don't just simply take what's being told to them at face value, but to get into the book and make sure that we are getting what God said. Amen. Hey, listen, I know a lot of good preachers who disagree on a lot of things. Amen. And my point of view is not to side with one or the other. Mine is to find out what I believe God said. Amen. That's the important thing. My wife and I were talking, I guess, a couple days ago about, sad to say, most people that go to church don't know what they believe. You ask them, you know, what do you believe? Well, I believe what my church believes. And then you say, well, what does your church believe? They say, my church believes what I believe. And then you say, well, what do you both believe? And you say, we both believe the same thing. Folks, that's not good enough. Can I get a witness on that one? Yeah, my first, can I get a witness? But anyway, this is the truth, isn't it? Why is it that most people, when it comes to people asking them what they believe, they have to say, this is why I church. Because they basically heard that's what their church believed from the pulpit, perhaps. But the fact of the matter is, you and I ought to be able to say, let me show you why I believe what I believe. If you can't show somebody why you believe what you believe, I have to tell you this, you don't believe it. You've heard it. You say you believe it. See, I like what Paul said. I believe God. When did he say that? He said that when he was on a ship and that ship was about ready to be destroyed. But the Lord stood by him, or the angel of the Lord, and comforted him and said, hey, be of good cheer. You're going to lose the ship, but nobody's going to lose their life. Paul came out and he said, hey, everybody, listen up. We got a message from the Lord. Everything's going to be all right. Be of good cheer. I believe God. He believed God because he heard it was what God said. Amen. You and I, as God's people, need to be able to say, I believe God because I know what he said. Not I believe what my preacher said. Not I believe what my teacher said. No, I believe what God said. Why? Because though they said it, I verified it for myself. Amen. That's an important thing. We got to search the scriptures to make sure that we believe correctly. Why? By the way, that's the privilege of you and I. That's what we call the priesthood of the believer. You and I are not stuck in a religious organization where we have no thought, where we just simply have to take what they say and that's it. In fact, Catholicism, that's the way it is, isn't it? They have their form of doctrine, the catechisms. They have what they believe. And you know what? People say, I'm a Catholic and I just simply agree with my church to some extent, unless you're going to be a politician. And then you can personally hold an agreement, but yet, you know, go forward in a contrary way. Let me tell you why. And by the way, we see this all the time, don't we? The Catholic politics of, you know, I could still, you know, go with this, although you know, it's their belief. They don't have a personal relationship with the Lord. They don't believe what they believe because they got it from God. And let me tell you what happens if you don't get it directly from God. There's a good opportunity the devil could put doubt between it. When Adam said to Eve, you know, God told Adam, you know, you can eat of every tree, but the one in the midst you can't eat. It wasn't told directly to Eve. And when Eve was looking and lusting, what did the devil say? Did God really say? And there are times when you believe only what you've been told by somebody else, the devil can put a question mark in your head. You got to get it from him. You got to get it from him. Why? Because if you get it from him in your heart, there's going to be a harder time for you to refuse that. Why did Daniel live the way he lived in Babylon? Babylon was a picture of the world. I mean, Babylon was a wicked place, yet Daniel refused to eat the way they ate. They Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they refused to go with the jumping and the jiving of the music that they entertained with. Why did they stand where they stood? I'll tell you why. They had God's word in their heart. Where did Daniel purpose to do right? In his heart. Why did he purpose in his heart? Because that's where God's word was at. See, God's word gets to the heart and the heart decides. There's a psalm that says, when you said, seek ye my face. Here's what the psalmist said. My heart said, Lord, your face will I seek. Let me tell you what God wants to do. He wants to speak to our hearts. And then he wants us to react and respond from where? From the heart. If it's just a head thing, we could be very easily sidetracked. Amen. You and I, listen, are responsible. Now, I have to be honest with you. The very context of this verse is not for just general Christians. The context, the interpretation, is really especially for the preacher. Timothy was a leader. He was a preacher. And Paul was telling him especially to get in that book. But by way of application, I believe it applies to every one of us. We all ought to get into the book in a studying way. Amen? Now, let me give you some thoughts. We are responsible, if you will, to study the Bible. And by the way, the whole purpose of Bible study is to get what? Understanding. There was a statement the Lord had given me as I pondered some things before. And that's this. And listen and see if you agree. By reading the Word of God, we can see what God says. By studying the Word of God, we can understand what God meant. There are some people, the only thing they do is read it. And we need to dig deeper into it rather than just simply reading. It's a wonderful thing, no doubt about it. It's a blessed thing. But we need to go deeper, amen, and understand what was meant by what was said, amen. By the way, most people trip people up in false teachings and false doctrines by using verses where it seems that God is saying. Can I get a witness on that one? There are people, Pentecostals. Now, if you're a Pentecostal, I'm not saying it on purpose. I almost got in trouble last week, I think. I was saying that women preachers are not right and this, that, and the other thing. I think a woman preacher was visiting that day. I don't do it on purpose, amen? If the Lord's in it, amen. But I don't do it on purpose to offend anybody, right? But the fact of the matter is, what am I saying anyway? I got sidetracked by apologizing. Pentecostals, yeah. Pentecostals will tell you, listen, you can lose your salvation. And say, well, I don't believe it. And then they'll say, well, look at Psalm 51. Remember when David sinned with Bathsheba and he had Uriah killed? You remember in David's prayer of confession in Psalm 51, he said, Lord, take not your spirit from me. Now, Pentecostals will say, what does it say? And if you, to the untrained or to the unstudied eye, it almost looks, oh my, we can lose the spirit. But if you're not a student of the scripture, you won't realize, hey, we are dispensationalists. We believe that in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit would come upon an individual to do a certain task, but he could leave that individual. It's not an indication that they lost their salvation. In that time, it was an indication they lost the power to do what they needed to do. You and I in the New Testament, book of Ephesians especially, after we believe and after we're saved, we're sealed with the Holy Spirit till the day of redemption. Amen. You and I have the Holy Spirit and he abides in us forever. So when you study the scriptures, you don't allow a verse like that to sidetrack you. Amen. That's why it's so important that we make sure we're students of the Word of God. By reading it, we see what God said. By studying it, we understand what God meant. Now, the purpose of study is to understand the Word of God. Now, I'll be honest with you. I do not believe that anybody will ever perfectly understand it all. I don't believe that. I really don't. Amen. And that's fine. But I promise you, if you study it, you'll get what God has for you. Amen? No doubt about that. Now, let me give you, if I can, let me give you some keys to understanding God's Word. When it comes to studying the Bible and understanding the Word of God, here's some different keys. First of all, would you turn with me for a moment to 1 Corinthians chapter 2? 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. I believe with all my heart that it is so important nowadays for God's people to get into God's Word. It really is. We need this book daily. Daily. Amen. And we need to get into it appropriately. Now, we got to shed the coat. We're getting... Oh, now, this is another reason my wife is with me again. Thank you for being here. Somebody said, are you sick? What's she here for? I said, I'm sick in the head. But nonetheless, amen. But anyway, she wanted to see the baby, I believe. Amen. You know how, by the way, she loves little girls. We don't have one. So our neighbor, when we had neighbors move in with a little girl, a Christmas gift every year. And but she don't care. That's like she just to claim the children. Amen. But anyway, I want you to look with me. 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. If you and I are going to understand the word of God, studying it is the key. But here's the key to understanding the word of God. Number one, or A, if you will, being saved. You're not going to understand the word of God without first being saved. Amen. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Look at verse number 14. The Bible says this. Did I say 1 Corinthians? I'm in the wrong book. I think it's 2 Corinthians, right?
No, it's
1st. Is it 1st? I was looking at the wrong chapter then. Maybe you should get up here and teach this, whoever said that. Amen. All right, chapter 2. I was looking at chapter 1, and I knew chapter 1 wasn't it. But look at verse number 14 of chapter number 2. 1 Corinthians 2, 14. But the natural man, and the reference to natural man is the unsaved man, right? The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them. There it is. Why? Because they are spiritually discerned. We need the Holy Spirit of God to open our eyes. He's the teacher. He's the illuminator. Amen. And if you're not saved, you're not going to understand the word of God. In fact, I think it unique that in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 to 20, what we call the Great Commission, you remember that? You know, Jesus said, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore. And first thing he says is what? Teach all nations. Now, I believe the emphasis in there, and I think I'm going to talk about this later on, is to make sure that the gospel gets to the lost. The gospel. We take the gospel to lost people. And I believe that if they receive the gospel, believe the gospel, I believe they get saved. Amen? It's the gospel that saves, right? But what are they supposed to do after they get saved? Watch this. Teach all nations. Then he says what? Baptize them. So a person needs to get saved. A person afterwards needs to get baptized. What is baptized? Identify with the Lord Jesus Christ. But then what's the next verse after that? Teaching them what? All things. It's amazing. The first thing every human being needs is the gospel. The death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. They need to be saved. Why? After they get saved, they get the Spirit. Now, teach them all things. Amen? And so, a person needs to be saved. Would you turn with me to 2 Corinthians, please, chapter number 3. 2 Corinthians, chapter number 3. Keys to understanding the Bible. We got to first be saved. Our eyes have to be opened first and foremost. Why? Because when your eyes are shut, you're blind and cannot see. Amen? Look at 2 Corinthians chapter number 3. Look at verse number 15 and 16. The context of this is a reference to Moses' veil, but then it slips into a thinly veiled reference to the fact that Israel, God's chosen people as a nation, are blinded. They've been cursed with blindness in part. Not all of them, thank God, right? Thank God, not all Israel are blind, but the majority are. They can't see and understand, mainly because what? They're not saved. But look at verse number 15, if you would. It says this, but even unto this day, Paul was saying, when Moses is read, that's the Old Testament, right? The veil is upon their what? Heart. You see, what he's saying is, listen, the nation of Israel is blinded because they rejected the Lord. And they're cursed with a blindness, majority of them, the nation as a whole. But individually, thank God, they can be saved. We know when the Lord returns as a second coming, they'll all be saved as a nation. Amen. But look at verse number 16. Nevertheless, when it, now we got to say it, what does it refer back to? It refers back to the heart. The veil is upon their heart, but when it shall turn to the Lord, is that not salvation right there? When the heart of an individual Jew turns to the Lord, that's salvation, the veil shall be what? Taken away. When a person, by the way, by way of application, when a person gets saved, the veil is taken away, their eyes are open, and they now can see. Boy, that reminds me of that blind man that was healed by Jesus. I don't know everything about Jesus, but this one thing I know. I was blind, but now I see. Amen? Salvation is the opening of the eyes. Amen? Of the blind, and that's you and I that get saved, we get to see. So first and foremost, if we're going to understand the Bible, we got to be what? Saved. Now let me give you the second thought. Turn, if you would, please, to 1 Corinthians, please, chapter number 3. And I have to skip right by that because, thank the Lord, I don't doubt that most of us, if not all of us, are saved. Amen. The veil has been taken away and we see. Amen. We see Jesus, amen, for who he really is. Amen. We see the Bible for who he really is, or what it really is. Now, let me give you a second thought. Here's the second thought. Not only is being saved a key, but number, or B, if you're taking it like this, because our responsibility is to study it. B, we need to be spiritual. We need to be spiritual. Being saved is wonderful. Our eyes are opened up, amen? And now we have the potential to see all that God wants us to see, amen? But we need to make sure that we stay spiritual. Watch this now. What do I mean by that? If I could give it to you in this respect, ready? Spirit-filled. How about this? Right with the Lord. We need to make sure as Christians we stay spiritual. We stay spirit-filled. We stay right with the Lord. Amen? By the way, I'll tell you that in a moment, but look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Look at verse number 1. Here's what Paul said to the Corinthians. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto what? Spiritual. But as unto what? Carnal. Even as unto babes in Christ. Listen, if you and I are not spiritual, we're going to be what? Carnal. Do you know what carnality does to you and I? It puts us in a baby state. Baby state means we're not going to understand many things that we should and could understand. Amen? Paul, in fact, was frustrated. He said, listen, I wanted to speak unto you and I wanted to give you some meat of God's word, some good understanding. You can't give chunks of meat to little kids. Can I get a witness on that one? Paul said, you're carnal. Now watch their carnality. Look at verse number 4. Here's what their carnality. By the way, verse number 2. I have fed you with milk. I had to give you simple truths, simple truths. I'm afraid that too many people live on simple truths. We can't, that's not going to sustain us through life. Hey, simple truths are wonderful, grand and glorious when you first get saved. But we ought to be like children. You know, after a while, that baby's going to grow and that baby's going to say, you know what? Milk ain't enough. I need some food. And Christians ought to enjoy the simple things of God's word, but that ought to build them up to say, I want more. I need more. Amen. Understanding. Look at verse number 2. I have fed you with milk and not with meat. Why? For hitherto, up till now, you were not able to bear it. You couldn't handle good Bible truths. In fact, he said, neither yet now are you able. Boy, what an indictment. I could not give you some meaty truths. I couldn't give it to you and I can't even now, he said. Why? What was the main problem? They couldn't get it. They were carnal, not spiritual. And by the way, we all have to battle our carnality. Amen. Hey, we're flesh. You know what Paul said in Romans chapter 7, verse 18, I believe it is. He said, in me, there's no good thing that is in my flesh. Amen. He said in Romans 7, 24, I believe it is, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? Hey, we all got the potential to become carnal and worldly. Amen. Look at verse number 4. For here, by the way, here's the carnality that they were in. For while one saith, I'm of Paul, another, I'm of Apollos, are you not carnal? In other words, they were divided. Division in the church, right? Oh, I like this preacher better than your preacher. And I like your, you know, I remember hearing years and years ago of two big churches in Indiana, where the workers from both schools would work in the same factories and they would fight one another. Argue with one another. Our church and our preacher better your church. And by the way, that should not be. That is a sign of babyhood and carnality. Amen. Verse number 3. Watch what he says. For you are yet carnal, for whereas among you, look at verse 3. For you are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying, strife, divisions. Are you not carnal and walk as what? Basic men. Just basic men. And by the way, basic men don't get the word. You can look at verse 14 of chapter 2. Basic men, natural men, don't get the word. When you walk as a carnal man, you walk as a natural man, and we're not going to get it. Amen? It is so important for you and I to stay spiritual, to stay spirit-filled, to stay clean, to stay right. Why? Remember, the Holy Spirit is the teacher of the believer. When I'm not right, I grieve the Holy Spirit. I quench the Holy Spirit. You know, to quench something means to put something out. When a fire starts to rage, it's not, by the way, Proverbs says the fire is never satisfied. It wants to continue to spread. That's what it does. And when you put water on the fire, you stop it from doing what it wants to do. And the Holy Spirit of God in every believer wants to be our teacher. Nobody knows the mind of the Lord, but the Spirit of the Lord knows the mind of the Lord, and He can tell us and He can show us. In fact, there's a blessedness that you and I that are saved, we understand and we know the things that God has prepared for us because we receive them by His Spirit. We got to be careful we don't live in such a way as to tell the teacher, sit down. You'll sit in a service if you're not right with the Lord, and you may not get what God has. Amen? In John 14, 26, it says about the Holy Spirit, He will teach you all things. In 1 John 2:20, He's called the unction. You have an unction that you know all things. In 1 John 2:27, He's called the anointing. You have an anointing. You don't need a man to teach. You have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit of God is the illuminator. He's the teacher. And we got to be careful. Now, I want to show you a verse. Would you turn with me for a moment to Proverbs? See, the challenge is if I'm going to be a student of the Bible, I got to, number one, be saved. Amen. And then number two, I got to be right with the author. Who can better explain to us what he meant? You know what some people do? They say, oh, if I could only understand what Paul was trying to say. If I could only understand what Peter was trying to say. And what we really need to say is, oh, if I could only understand what the Holy Spirit is trying to say. Amen. Look at 1 Peter. Oh, not 1 Peter. I'm talking about 1 Peter. I want to go there. I want to go there right now, but we can't. Look at Proverbs, right? Did I say Proverbs? I get speaking. I don't even know what I'm saying. Sorry. Look at Proverbs 1. Now, this is not interpreted in the New Testament to mean that, you know, the Spirit's going to be poured on us and so on. I want to give you an application out of this verse that I want you to see something. I think there's some basic truth in here I want us to see. Watch what it says. Proverbs 1:23. Turn you at my reproof. By the way, you know what that means. Reproof is somebody's telling me I'm wrong about something, right? Watch this. Turn you at my reproof. And what does he promise to do if they turn? Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. So what's that going to do? What's the next statement? I will make known my words unto you. I'm just wanting you to see something in this verse. There's a correlation between the Spirit of God and knowing the Word of God. And you and I need to make sure that we are not hindering that Spirit from doing His work. There used to be a statement years ago, people would say, turn or burn. You remember that one? How many people remember that one? Turn or burn. Not that I necessarily would use that, you know, the whatever. But I can say this about this, turn and learn. Turn and learn. Can I get a witness on that one? Turn and learn. Do we get it very simple, right? Listen, let me give you the third thing. Number one, we need to be saved if we're going to understand the book in our studying. We need to be spiritual. And by the way, thank God. You know how quick we can be spiritual? As quick as we can be carnal, we can be spiritual. It's all a matter of just simply getting things right with the Lord. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Man, we can clear everything, can't we? We can clear it away, get things right between us and the Lord. Nothing between my soul and my Savior. I could just make sure, keep the way clear, amen? Let me give you the third thought. Okay, so I need to be saved and I need to be spiritual. And then let me give you this one. Turn to Colossians chapter number 3. Please, Colossians chapter number 3. This, by the way, my brethren, is basic truth that we all need. It really is. It is basic truth we all need. Some people like to go to church, hear a fanciful message, feel good, go home, and the feelings wear off very quickly. Can I tell you what a lot of Christians do? By the way, these places that are filling up with thousands, They're enjoying the band striking up. They're enjoying the special music. They're enjoying maybe a fanciful, you know, half hour sermon of whatever, just basic thought. And then they're going home, and all week long, they're not in the book. And many of them, sad to say, aren't living right. Real biblical Christianity is what we need today. God knows. I mean, God knows. I want you to look. Where are we at anyway? Where did I say to go? Colossians 3. Thank you. Boy, I need somebody just to remind me of that. Colossians chapter number 3. I want you to look at verse number 16. Listen, I believe this is one of the things we need if we're going to understand the book. Number one, we need to be saved. Number two, we need to be spiritual. Number three, we need to be saturated. Saturated. Now, when you think of the word saturated, you know what you're thinking, right? Look at Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you. What's the next word? Richly. When I think of richly, I think of, listen, I need to be saturated. I can't have a christening in my devotional time. Can I get a witness on that one? Somebody help me with that one. You know what I mean, right? I can't just have a little sprinkle of the book on me. Amen. I actually need to get baptized. What does that mean? I need to get into it. Amen. I need to get into this book. I need this book to saturate my life. Amen. The better chance I have of understanding it is to get into it. Amen. And let me just give you this thought. We understand the book, and then we get saturated by the book by just simply reading it. I mean, reading it is wonderful. We need to read it. In fact, Psalm 119, 130 says this, the entrance of thy words give light. It gives understanding unto the simple. We need this word just to enter into us, open our eyes. The command of the Lord, Psalm 19, 8, the commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. Amen. We need to get in the book. Just simply reading it will give us understanding. Amen. But I want you to note something. Turn to Psalm 119, if you would, please. Psalm 119. Reading it's a wonderful thing, no doubt about it, and I do not minimize that at all, because I know I'm going to get understanding by reading it. My eyes are going to get open more and more by reading it, no doubt about it. But I'll be honest with you, man, I think there's something that's lacking today. I believe there's something lacking today among many Christians. And might I say this? I believe there's something lacking today even among many preachers. And that is this. Look at Psalm 119. Look at verse 99. I have, what's the next statement? I'll wait till the pages are, I shouldn't ask that question until I heard the ruffling of the pages over. Amen. Look at Psalm 119:99. I have, what's that next statement? More understanding. Now listen, I said just reading it, we're going to get understanding. Is that correct? I don't want just understanding. I want more understanding. But watch this. How does this psalmist say he gets more understanding? Watch this. I have more understanding than all my teachers. Why? For thy testimonies are my... Boy, there it is right there. There it is right there in black and white. Amen? One of the major problems why preachers aren't as effective as they could be and ought to be is because they get sidetracked by so many things. That they don't have the time to get in the book the way that it needs to be gotten into. Amen. Meditation. Think about that. When's the last time you heard a message on meditation? Have you ever heard a message on meditation? Boy, I tell you, think about that. When you talk about this, listen, just reading the Bible will get us understanding. But if we go the extra mile and meditate, I think that we'll get more understanding. Amen. Meditation on the Word of God. What a lost art. Amen. The benefits of meditation. What is meditation? Let me tell you what meditation is. It's reading the Word of God and then thinking about it. Some people don't have time to think about what they're reading. Amen. I'll tell you why a lot of times. People don't give time to think about it. When you do your little thing where you read through a chapter, you are not thinking through what you're reading. Let me tell you, I've known people, and if you're one of these, I don't know you, who love to do crossword puzzles. I know as you get older in those years, you get those jumbo puzzles so you can read them easier. How many people like them? I know people that get into them And they get hung up on those. In fact, they sometimes get hung up. They'll ask people, what is, and trying to get the answer. Anybody know what I'm talking about, at least, if you don't get into it? That's what we need to do with the book. We need to get into the book to the point where we're thinking, and we're thinking, and we're thinking. In fact, we make it so puzzled, we actually go maybe to a commentary. I can't physically ask maybe some brother, what they think about it, but now I can open up a book and find out what they thought about that. Amen? Trying to get a hold of it, when we work hard to understand it, I believe we're going to understand it. And when you understand something, it's hard to lose understanding. Hard to lose understanding. Amen? But boy, I'll tell you, the lost art of taking time to meditate and to think about the Word of God. Things happen. Let me give you an example. And I didn't have this in the notes, but we'll throw it in here. One day I'm reading Matthew 12. I'm a preacher. I'm studying. I'm reading Matthew 12. And I'm noting in Matthew 12, there's three great statements that Jesus is greater than Solomon. How many people remember that one? It's a chapter. Jesus is greater than Solomon. Jesus is greater than Jonah. Jesus is greater than the temple. You remember that? I don't remember that. Because of those same words, it makes a great outline for a preacher. And there's been preachers that have taken that outline, and you can preach that all day, right? One day I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, I'm doing something I should be, and I'm thinking about these scriptures and what this, and something hit me. Not that it didn't hit somebody else. Somebody else might have already known this. I don't know that. But it hit me. You know what I said? See, this is what, try not to meditate in front of everybody, because they'll think you're crazy. They'll want to put you in a loony bin. Because if you're truly meditating, you're talking to yourself. Why? What do we do? Hit me. What was Jonah? What was Jonah?
Prophet.
It's a prophet. What was Solomon?
A king.
What's the temple represent?
Priesthood.
Why would Jesus be greater than a prophet, priest, and king? Because he's all of them in one. He's the Messiah. Do you know the Messiah, the anointed one, means the prophet, priest, and king? It hit me. I'm sorry. Hold on a minute. I went to my pastor at the time who I was fellowship with, and I said something. He said, "You just taught me something, brother." I don't say that to tell you, oh, how special I am. I say that to tell you that I knew it was a good outline and a good, but thinking about it, I think allowed me to hit on that truth. Amen. Not that somebody else didn't know it or didn't write it. You understand what I'm saying to you? But for me, it was because I gave it thought. I believe personally now, and now you probably see what I'm saying, right? This is what happens when we meditate on the scriptures, right? I have a whole thing on meditation that, get this, because of me preparing for this, guess what I did yesterday? I meditated on meditation. Uh-huh, exactly. And I got a 4-point outline because of it. And I may share that someday. We'll see what happens. But let me give you the last thing because I got to quit. And I want to get into it, but I don't have time. Time would fail me. It kind of reminds me of Hebrews 11. You know, he goes at the end. He's like, time would fail. But look at, what did I say? Did I say where to turn? All right, good. Look at Psalm 119. I'm going to give you the fourth thing. So this morning in Sunday school, we cover point number one. But I hope, my desire is to speak to God's people and say to you, look, this is what we need. This is really what we need. We have to battle, by the way, so many things to get to that place of meditation. Amen. And I might even talk about that later. We'll see what happens. I might even get into that. And I said to go to Psalms, and I'm in Jeremiah. Oh, forgive me. Look at Psalm 119. Let me give you the last thought. And here's the crazy thing, and it bothers me. Psalm 119, we're going to look in a moment at a verse. Here's what bothers me. Ready? Being saved, being spiritual, being saturated. Now, they're all S's, is that correct? And I really couldn't get an S for this last one, so I'm throwing everybody off. Here we go. Being prayerful. Praying. Getting in the book. Trying to stay right with the Lord. These are the things that I have to do. But listen, understanding this book is not all about me doing all of that. It's by looking to the author and saying, Lord, I'm doing my part. I'm trying to stay right. I'm trying to stay in. I'm doing my part, and I cannot understand this until you do your part. Psalm 119, look at verse 18. The Bible says this, open thou mine eyes, that I may behold or see wondrous things out of thy law. You remember the two men we talked about before with heartburn? Remember that, the heartburn? The two men on the Emmaus Road, and Jesus stepped with them, and they didn't know it was him. And he began to preach about himself. And they said afterwards, by the way, it says this, he opened unto them the scriptures. That's what I want in my personal life. Him to open up to me and expound the scriptures. Amen. I need to pray. And so our first point for the day, and we'll see what happens tonight, but our first responsibility, brothers and sisters in Christ, let's study the book. Let's study the book. Let's be clean. Let's get saturated. Amen. Let's think and meditate on the book. And let's pray and ask the author to open our eyes and help us see what he meant. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word this morning. Thank you for the challenge this morning that's laid on all of our hearts. Lord, the devil is so busy keeping us distracted with so many things. He tries to, like Martha, cumbered about so many things and don't have time to sit still and to sit at the feet of Jesus and to hear his words. Oh, God, help us in this crazy, busy world to pull apart before we fall apart. In Jesus' name, amen.